and wait for things to change. When you look at how crazy this world has become, Scripture is being fulfilled right before our eyes. Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, earthquake. It seems like every year there's some new virus that you never heard of before. This year is Zika, right? When did you hear of that before? Where did that come from? You see, what we're seeing is prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes. That's when the Scripture says, look up. Why? Your redemption draweth nigh. This is not a time to draw back. This is a time to seek God and get closer to Him. Amen. And the Scripture here in Romans, Paul was outlining the situation, and he says, not only they, but ourselves. He says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. I didn't put verse 22, but he says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. And he goes on to say, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Amen. And my wife was talking about back pain, and Sister Princella was in here, and she was telling me she had to go to the hospital this week because she had pain in her back. So I asked her what it was, and she said, arthritis. And now I understand. When I was younger and people used to complain about arthritis, as I said, I really didn't have much empathy. I didn't understand it. But since this little thumb here has started to play up and not want to turn without giving me pain, I understand. And I'm thinking, well, if this thumb hurts me so bad, what would it be if it was in my back? So we need to hold her up in prayer. Amen. But there's a lot of things in life going to make you groan. If you're not groaning, you're not fighting. You're just going along with the flow. While we were there, there was some further upriver. There was a place where you could rent inner tubes. And down along the river came these kids, probably, you know, 13 or 14, on these inner tubes. And they were just going with the flow. And this river was going pretty fast. You see, the devil would like to just let you go with the flow. But it takes something else to swim the other way. See, it takes something else. If you're fighting, you're going to be groaning. There's going to be things that the devil will attack you to take away your faith, to depress you, to put you in a bad place. And Paul was saying, if you have God's Spirit, you're waiting for a change. You're tired of the mess. You're tired of the struggle. You're waiting for something to change. And he says, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Amen. And just as a little bit of review, I said that redemption means to buy back. I've bought from a pawn store. So far, I haven't had to sell to a pawn store. Amen. And it's used in reference to bondage or slavery. Deuteronomy 7:8 says, but because the Lord loved you, speaking to Israel, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of fear. The whole story in the Old Testament about Egypt coming out of slavery is a model and a type for us today, coming out of our bondage. Bondage to debt, bondage to fear, bondage to worry, bondage to depression, bondage to loneliness. All those things God is going to deliver us from. God is going to deliver us from. Amen. And that's why I'm looking up, because the Scripture says, my redemption draweth near. So 2 weeks ago, we did overview, and then we did redemption of the soul. And this week, we're going to do redemption of our bodies. And that's kind of important. As I said, right now, you can have God's Spirit and yet be attacked and be going through things. And lots of people don't understand that. I come to church, I do the best that I can, and yet I'm feeling so much pressure. Things are not going right. I'm sick. I'm depressed. That's because we still have this body to deal with. We still have this body to deal with. And this sometimes trips us up. This sometimes causes us problems. Amen. And then next week we're going to be studying redemption of the kingdom. And I don't know why all my lessons seem to start in Genesis, but forgive me. I'm going to start in Genesis again. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Have dominion. You know, the Ten Commandments were not the first commandments. The Ten Commandments were not the first command. The first commandments were these commandments. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue, and have dominion. That was the first commandments that God gave men, was to multiply, be fruitful, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Man was created to be the God of this world. But because of sin, we traded that position with this being called Satan. God gave mankind dominion. And as I've taught so many times before, the most important part of that dominion, anyone remember what I said? What's the most important part of the dominion that God gave mankind? Someone said, it's over ourselves. Do you understand right now, we don't have much dominion over this body. As I've used the example, you go to the doctor and they're testing you, especially when you get older, they're doing a wellness checkup. They tell you, cross your legs, and they get that little rubber hammer, and they tap you on your knee, and your foot kicks out. You have no control. If he hits it on the right spot, your foot, you try and hold your foot in. I've tried, and it doesn't work. You see, but when we were created, God gave us full dominion over this body. Remember, it says, every living thing that what? Creepeth or moveth upon the earth. That included our flesh. That's why Adam could be sinless. While he was obeying God, while he was subjected to God's rule, he had full dominion over his flesh. He had full dominion over his thoughts. He had full dominion over every aspect of his life. So the most important thing that God gave was dominion over this body. As I said right now, I went through a period where I guess when I wasn't pastor, I didn't have too much cause to get mad. And I thought I had dealt with my anger problem. I thought I had conquered that. And then some incident came up and I just felt this flesh getting, you know, past reason, not wanting to act rationally. I could just feel it coming on. And I realize I still haven't conquered that part of me. That human nature is right there just below the surface. And if you aren't careful, you can get yourself in a situation where you let that emotion come out. And so we have to make sure that we are submitted. Anyway, so when God created us, we were a three-part being. And I'm just doing some of this for review because you know the way we learn is by what? Repetition. And so when God created us, we were created as a son of God. Adam was a son of God. I think one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture, there's all of it is beautiful, but I just like the way in, I think, the book of Luke, there's two scriptures in the New Testament that gives the genealogy of Christ. In the book of Matthew, it starts going down, descending. Finally, it says, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Madat, which was the son of Joseph, which was the father, according to the flesh of Jesus. But in the book of Luke, it goes the other way. It goes ascending, and it goes all the way back to Adam. And it goes like this, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Do you understand that's what we've been called to be a special creation? What made Adam a son of God was he was a direct creation of God. When we receive his spirit, that's exactly what is happening. We become a direct creation of God. And we become, if they were to write our genealogy, it would go, which was the son of God. Isn't that great? Amen. But what happened when he disobeyed, as I said last week, he lost the spirit covering. And just became a son of man. So in Genesis 5, when Adam had a son, he said, and Adam had a son in his own image or likeness and in his own image. But he was only a son of man from that point on. No longer a son of God because Adam had lost the spirit covering. That's why in the New Testament, Jesus said to Nicodemus, Ye must be what? Ye must be born again. The Bible says that it is the Spirit, those that are led by the Spirit, to them gave He what? Power to do what? Become. So when we are born today, we are born sons of men. We have a body and a soul, but we're missing God's covering Spirit. And that's why it's so important. So important. This is the key. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless ye are born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of the heaven. Because only a son of God, only someone who is covered with God's Spirit can really relate to God. So we see that this is what happened when Adam sinned. Immediately, something happened. How did they know something happened? What did Adam and Eve say? They were naked. They had lost that spirit covering. And they went and hid themselves. And we taught last week about how God had to make a temporary covering. Because Adam and Eve had made what? What kind of covering had they made? Fig leaves. But the fig leaves obviously didn't work because they were still doing what? Hiding. You see, the fig leaves covered the body, but it could not cover the soul. They still felt naked, even though they had made themselves a garment. But we saw last week that it took a blood covering, a blood sacrifice for truly the soul to be covered. So I want to start at that point this week, and we won't have as much time, but as I've put up there, there were two very important transactions happened when Adam and Eve sinned. Number one, they broke a spiritual law. They went against God's word. And as I said, they lost dominion, which is the thing that's really killing us today. People have no control. Amen. I said sometimes I don't have control the way I want to. That's why, later in this lesson, the Bible says we have to die daily. We have to keep this flesh subdued because the old man wants to come back and give you a piece of my mind, right? Sometimes we don't want to deal with stuff. We just want to let it all out and let the consequences happen. But we can't do that. Not if we are in this fight. Not if we are a good soldier. You can't be disordinate, what's the word? My brain is going. Insubordinate. Man, I'm getting old. Insubordinate, right? That's when you just no longer be a good soldier. We are supposed to be a good soldier. So the three things that we lost when Adam and Eve sinned and are the things that really kill us today, this one isn't so big. Dominion of the earth and of nature and of the natural forces. That's why Jesus, who was a son of God, demonstrated that he was a son of God because he had all the three things I'm about to tell you in the fullness. He was able to say to the storm, peace be still. See, only a son of God has dominion still. And if we take that and understand that we now, if you have been filled with the Spirit, are on the way back to full sonship. You should have dominion. That's why Jesus said, if you speak to this mountain and tell it to move to the hinder part, it should do it. It should do it. If we had just a grain of faith, just as small as a mustard seed. So one of the things that Adam had was total dominion. That's why he could command the animals to come to him, and they came. And he could say, sit down, I'm going to think about what I'm going to name you. And the proof that he had dominion, anyone remember what I said? What was the proof that he had dominion? He named them, yes. Naming proves ownership. That's very good. Because when you get an animal, who names them? You do. The owner does. So the things that belong to God, God named. And he called the light day. He called the land earth. Those things prove whose dominion those things. But when it came to the animals, what did God say? He came to see what Adam would name them. Proving that the dominion was real. It wasn't a fake. God didn't just pretend to give him dominion. It said God came to see what Adam would name them. God limited his knowledge so that he could give Adam dominion. That's such a big point. God limited himself so that we could have sovereignty. That's what it cost God for us to have free will and choice. Is God limited his dominion. The second thing, obviously he had dominion over the animals. He had dominion over the natural forces. But the greatest thing that Adam lost was control of our earthly bodies. That's why we became subject to sin. Because this flesh wants to do what it wants to do. That's what it says in Romans 7, right? Paul says, when I want to do good, evil is present. And the thing that I don't want to do, I end up doing. And the good that I want to do, a lot of times I don't do it. See, with my mind, I want to serve God. I get up this morning, I'm going to pray. I'm not going to get mad at people. There's this one person gets on my nerves all the time. I'm just going to be loving, peaceful. They're not going to get to me. And then they say that one thing. See, the devil knows your sore spot. He knows the little jab that will make you have to take a deep breath. But you know, if you have the Spirit of God, you can see him coming. The Bible says we're not deceived by his devices. We're not surprised. And sometimes God has given me the grace to see it coming, and I just can smile and shake my head and say, nope, I'm not gonna get into that. But this was the most important thing we lost, was control of our bodies. And how did this happen? What was the mechanism that made Adam and Eve? They were given dominion. How did it end up with Satan? Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 16 gives us the answer. Knowing not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are. The moment they said, yeah, we're going to do what you say, I'm going to go eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you became his servants. It was at that moment that they lost dominion. When they yielded their self to obey what Satan said. Listen, that tree looks pretty good, doesn't it? Hath God really said you shouldn't do that? See, God knows that the day you eat it, you're going to be as smart as he is. And you won't really die. The worst type of deceit is something that's a half-truth. Because there's enough truth for you to believe it. You know, something that's obviously ridiculous, you're not going to do. If someone comes to you and say, here's a gun, go kill someone. We're not probably going to do that. But if someone comes to you and whispers, you know what so-and-so said about you? In our heart, it's very easy for us to kill them with our spirit. We would never take a gun and go shoot someone, but the devil can come to us and say, well, look what they just got. Why didn't that happen to me? Why didn't I get that house? What's wrong with me? And the devil can take our flesh and kill them, just as if we had a gun. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Isn't that right? And that's why it's not just what we do on the outside, but the Bible says God looks at the intent of the heart. So it's this explains, Romans 6:16 explains how mankind lost dominion. That to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are. To whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. The thing is, once you start to obey Christ, then you become his servant. And that leads to righteousness and to life eternal. If you keep doing what Satan wants, that leads to death. The Bible said that's the reward of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So this is how Lucifer gained dominion and mankind lost it. Now, he gained dominion over the flesh. He gained dominion over the animals. They became wild. He gained dominion over nature. That's why it's a lie when we call these tornadoes acts of God. God didn't do it. In the book of Job, we see that very clearly. It was Satan that brought this tornado that destroyed Job's family. But today, Satan uses that for people to hate God and say, there is no God. Look at this disaster. Why did God allow this to happen? God did not allow it to happen. He gave mankind dominion. Mankind gave it to Satan. And because God is a God of his word, he can't just take it back. And I've used this example. If I give you $100 and then you give it to someone else I didn't want you to give it to, if I go and snatch it back from them, what it really means is I never ever gave you control. Do you understand what I'm saying? God is so different from us. He is basically his word. That's what John says. In the beginning was the word. God's word is inviolate. It can't change. Once he gave dominion to man, he could not just take it back. Now we would take it back. We would break our word. So God had to come up with a different plan to get back dominion. But in the meantime, we have all of the mess that we see. And this is what causes God grief. In Genesis 5, it said it grieved God to his heart. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to end this all. But isn't it great that the scripture always says that Noah found grace, unmerited favor. I'm so glad that you have found grace. If you're here today, you have found grace. Something made you come, and you may have thought it was you, but the little voice was whispering to you, listen, I'm going to go to church today. I want to hear something that is going to encourage me, that's going to touch my heart, that's going to lift my faith up, that's going to bless me. Amen? So we see that because of man's sin, he gave dominion of this body to Satan. Now, there was one part that Satan still doesn't have. He doesn't have all of you. Remember, we're a three-part being. We lost the spirit covering. He gained dominion of this flesh. But he does not have dominion of your soul. That's still up to you what you do with that. That's why when we receive the Holy Spirit, we read last week that the Bible says we are what? What's the word the scripture uses? Sealed. Sealed. All of you women who do canning, you know what sealing is, right? You boil up the jam and you heat it up, and then you have to seal it. If you don't seal it and just put it down, what happens? It goes bad. But the Bible says once you have the Holy Spirit, you're sealed. Satan can't just get at that. Yes, he can get at this body. Yes, you're going to go through things. Yes, you can be sick. But I want you to understand something about this body, and we're going to get to it. That God is more concerned with the soul. So of the original threefold nature that we had been created with, only the soul remains in the balance. That means we still have power what we do with it. That's why in Romans, and I didn't put it here, Paul says, therefore with the inner man, what did he say he does? He serves God. He says, with my mind, I serve God. We should always, as Christians, be perfect in our intent. We can be perfect in our intent. We may not be perfect in our actual deeds. But we should always be wanting to do the right thing. We should always wake up every morning and say, I'm going to be perfect today, God, with your help. Now, in actuality, we may say a wrong word. We may think a wrong thing. But Paul also gives the answer to that in Romans 8. It says, who shall deliver me from this body? He says, the law of the spirit of life has made me free. Do you understand that none of us are perfect in this flesh? I'm not more holy than anyone else. But my soul is sealed. Amen. My soul is sealed. I am blameless. Amen. Because he said so. Because the Bible says he is not imputing our sins. He's not imputing our sins. As long as we are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, we are covered with his righteousness. Because he's looking at the inner man. That's why Paul said, so with the inner man, I serve God. I serve God because he says this body cannot be subject to the law of God. We can never in this flesh be perfect. But you know what? God is calling us perfect because we're looking unto him. He's looking at Christ's perfection. So the only thing that was in the balance that was left to Adam was his soul. Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. We can be perfect in our inward man. we will, in this flesh, never be perfect because we will make mistakes. But I love the scripture that says the righteous man falleth down 7 times. But he's determined. He's not going to let the devil keep him down. Yes, I messed up this week, but I'm coming to church. I'm going to be the first one at the altar. I'm going to be praying, God, you have mercy upon me. I need deliverance. I need comfort. And you get back up. Get back up. You've only failed if you give up. Did you hear that, what I said? You only fail on this Christian journey if you stop. As long as you're walking, he said, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Amen. Abraham, and I've used this so many times, but it's so perfect. Just walk before me. Leave Ur of the Chaldees. Leave where you're coming from. Get out of that mess. Take this first step, and I will declare you perfect. Abraham, just keep on walking. And wherever you walk, I'm going to give it to you. It's going to belong to you. Leave Ur of the Chaldees behind. Paul was trying to explain what our current situation is. Our soul is sealed, so with the inner man, we worship God. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, that doesn't give us an excuse to do anything we want. That's not talking about willfully sinning. In Hebrews, he says, there remaineth no more sacrifice. If with our mind now we choose to, you know, if you, as I've said, go buy the gun, you go buy the bullets, you track the guy, and you stay on the corner, that's not a crime of passion. That wasn't like I got angry and we had a fight and he fell. That's deliberate. That's what they call premeditation. See, we can't get away with that and say, well, that was my flesh. The devil made me do it. No. No, you did that with your mind. You chose to do that. We chose to do something. But if sometimes we never intended, but our flesh, God has mercy upon those things. He can understand that. See, the devil doesn't like what I'm saying, but we're going to continue anyhow. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 3:16 says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit. Now, this is kind of surprising. He doesn't say in your flesh. In where? The inner man. Because Satan, that's where the battle is going to take place, for your mind, for your soul, for your thoughts. That's what he really wants. He wants to take your mind captive, to so depress you, to put you in a place of so much despair and hopelessness. That's why Paul to the Ephesians, he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So the body, this body belongs to Satan. And that explains why this body is going to die. God gave up on this body. See, Adam, when he was created, was immortal. He never had an expiration date. But once he sinned and lost the spirit covering, and once this body now had been yielded to Satan, God gave up on it. In fact, Paul says in Romans, it says, neither can it be subject to. It is enmity. It's enmity with God's spiritual law. And it can't be subject. And that's why this body has to die. And, you know, I had a fear of death. And I think most normal people do, right? Most normal people have a fear of death? Okay, normal people. Normal people have a fear of death. And I had a fear of death even though I was a Christian. And we know that we believe that when we die, where do we go? To be with the Lord. But I still had a fear of death because this was something I didn't understand. And then some years ago, God explained it to me. It's okay. It's my plan that this body dies. It can die two ways. It can die physically, or we die when we are baptized. But it's God's plan that this body dies, because this body, as it is not going to be brought back the way it is. It's going to be redeemed, but really it's a change, a new body. A new body. See, God is more interested in your soul, and he understood that this body right now is just a temporary holding place. That's why in John chapter 14 he says, I go to do what? Prepare a place. That where I am, you may be. Don't worry. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That in my Father's house, you know what he was talking about? A body. A body. He has got a new body for us. This body is destined to die, one way or the other. Destined to die. And once I understood that, that God has a plan, and that there is a point where, you know, there's a point where, you know, if you're a certain age, like I could tell both my parents chose when they were going to die. They really did. I could tell when my father had decided that his prayer wasn't lining up with my prayer. My prayer was, Lord, keep him a little bit longer. But I could tell the moment when he had decided it was better to be with the Lord. I could just tell. He at that point wasn't speaking, but I just could feel it. I could say, same thing with my mother. They chose that it was time for them to go. And it was up to me now to let them. And to understand that their work had been done. And as painful as that was for to me, it brought home even the more. There's going to be a time, if the Lord tarry, where that happens to all of us. Hebrews 9 says, it's appointed unto men once to die. It's appointed. That means we have an appointment. You have an appointment? But this is one thing that you're not going to get out of. They say there's two things that are sure in life, right? Death and taxes. Death and taxes. Two things that are going to happen. They're going to get you one way or the other. So the body belongs to Satan, and so what he really is after is your soul. The part of you that has still the ability to choose. Now remember what the scripture said, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are. We have the right to tell the devil, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. Bible says, submit to God and then you can do what? Resist the devil. Amen. Amen. So the body belongs to Satan. That's why God allowed it to die. And the proof, the absolute proof that God wants this body to die is found in Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand of, and take also of the tree of life and do what? What does it say? And live forever. God says, one of the reasons I'm kicking you out the garden is I don't want you to live forever. That's what it's saying. You know why? What the problem would have been with that? We would now be living forever in a body over which we had no control. Satan would have won a great victory. As it was, you see, his whole, and I'm trying to not get too deep in this, but the whole reason, as I've taught in other lessons, for him to deceive Adam and Eve is he wanted this body. He wanted this body. He wants this body. Here was a Superman body. Adam was a Superman. He was perfect. Perfect that GNC foods, GNC carbo, whatever, can't do. He was perfect physically, perfect in every way. You know why? He was created by God. And God can only create perfect things. A perfect being can only create perfectly. And Satan looked at this and it was his vessel for survival. As I've taught before, he had already sinned before he got Adam and Eve involved. And it was his way of escaping judgment. If he could get God's children involved in his sin, then he thought there was possibly a way to escape. And it almost worked. He deceived them and put the body and the whole of earth under his dominion. And so God said, no, you're not. You're not going to get this. God is so awesome. God is so awesome. Every turn, God has outwitted Satan. You know what he said about the body? Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And what did he tell the serpent? You're going to crawl on your belly all your days. And you know what? This body you thought you're going to get, it's going to be dust. That is why the body has to die, because God is going to rescue our soul and put it into a new and glorious body. That is our hope. Bible says, if in this life alone we had hope, we'd be like of all men most miserable. You know why? Because we've been coming to church, we've not been enjoying the world, and yet there would be no hope. You understand what I'm saying? But this is not the case. We are blessed. We are going to inherit a new glorious body. But this is the proof that God decided that this flesh could not be fixed. It had been given over to Satan. The only hope now was left in saving what was housed in this body, your eternal soul. Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. So God determined that this body must die. There's another reason for this body to die. If the body doesn't die, what can't be released? The soul. I didn't put it in this lesson, but you read in Genesis, when at the death of Jacob's wife Rachel, it says, as he was returning, traveling to Ephrathah, going to Bethlehem, she died in childbirth. And it says that her spirit returned. Now, something can't return unless it was first what? Given. The spirit returned to God, the maker, the one who gave it. That's what Satan wants. That's what he would like to get. So this body has to die. Now, it's up to us to kill it. Look at this. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive. Now, it can't make alive something that's already alive. That means when you're in Christ, you need to kill the body. We do it symbolically when we're baptized, because that is symbol of a death and resurrection. We identify with Christ by baptism. And when we do that, by faith, we're saying, I'm killing this old man with all of its sins, with all of its old nature, with all of its flesh. And because we do that in faith, believing, God counts it as if this body is already dead. We're only waiting now for the rest of the fig tree to shrivel up. Do you understand what I'm saying? When Jesus cursed the fig tree, it already died underground, but nobody could see it. When we're baptized in faith and we understand what we're doing, we're saying this body is dead. That means God counts it as dead. And already he's got our soul sealed when we receive the Holy Spirit. The only thing waiting now is for the redemption of the new body. Look at this. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. You don't owe this flesh anything. To live after the flesh. You should not try to obey what it does. You shouldn't just give in. I told you one time I went into a Walgreens. I was looking for a card. And I saw this card that says, I cannot be tempted. And I caught my eye. I said, well, let me see what this means. I can never be tempted. So I had to go over and open it up and see what the catchphrase was. And I opened it and it says, because I give in to everything. We can't be like that. No, we have to fight. And as long as we're doing that, God counts it as if it's dead. God is not counting our sins. I don't know how many times we have to tell you that. And if we understood that, we would have so much joy. Because we can come, Hebrews 4:16 says, we can come before a throne of grace boldly. Not like, well, God, I don't know if you're going to hear my prayer today. But if we understood that he's not looking at us as if this body is alive, because this body is what is where the sins are contained. I've taught the lesson on the atonement, right? The two goats on the atonement ceremony. How the priest would lay his hand on one of the goats and he would declare all the sins on that goat and then send it away into the wilderness to die. Do you understand that Jesus was our scapegoat? The high priest said it's better that one man should die for the whole nation. And when he declared that, the Bible says he did not speak this of himself, but he was under the unction of the Holy Spirit. He was becoming the scapegoat. It was Jesus' body that took all of our sins away. And not just the ones we did yesterday. Every single sin. Do you know you are free and pure and clear before God? If you believe it. Now, if you don't, then his crucifixion means nothing to you. But if you have the faith to believe I'm perfect in Christ, amen, you are. And when you believe that, you can pray with power. You can pray with determination. You can pray with faith. Because my body is dead. I think that's what you should tell yourself this week when you get up. Get up Monday morning and you say, this body is dead. See if that doesn't get you through your day a little bit differently. Amen, Sister Pam. Amen. That's what we got to do, is tell ourselves, this body is dead.
I just want to repeat that. That's what God has been speaking to me for the last 2 years. Your body is dead. You don't live. It's I that live in you.
Amen.
And when your body is dead, you don't do the things that you want. You do the things that the Lord wants. And you have yielded your will so that he walks and lives through you and in you.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that what Paul says? It's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. But most of the time, the devil wants to come, just as he did in the garden. And he wants to see if the old man is still alive. Hath God said? Do you really believe that? Do you really trust that? That's what he wants to do. For if he live after the flesh, he shall die. Sorry, I didn't even realize that went off. But if he through the Spirit do mortify, that means, you know what that word mortify means? To kill. Kill. I challenge you this week. When you wake up Monday, just talk to yourself. Speak to your body. Exercise dominion. I am going to exercise sonship over this flesh. Satan, you're not going to be in charge of me this week. I'm not going to just react. I'm not just going to do what you want me to do. I have dominion because I'm a child of God. Amen. Amen. But if he through the Spirit, that's what it's saying. Through the Spirit, do more, kill the deeds of the body. He shall live. Amen. That's such, you know, we read these scriptures and we've heard them so many times that the depth of what they mean just go whoosh. Take time to really think what the scriptures say. You have the power. If you're a child of God, you have dominion worked back into you. You can speak to your situation. Amen. Amen. I probably won't be able to finish this lesson. Psalms 8, a key scripture. And this time, I put the two different translations in there of the word man to show you that it was trying to make a distinction. David under the Holy Spirit says in Psalms 8, starting at verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Then he uses a different term, the son of man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Isn't that what I said? When Adam was originally created, he had total dominion over God's creation. He was the Son of God, made in his image and likeness. But what we see in verse 4 is a change. Because that word for man, enosh, is not used until after sin. Before that, the only word for man that was used is Adam, which means son of God. Not mortal man, but Adam, which Luke chapter 3 gives us, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. But what happened was when sin came into the world, verse 5 happened. Thou made him a little lower. And as I've taught, when he was made lower is when he became subject to death. And now the word for man changes to enosh, which means mortal man. Mortal man. Originally, verse 6, we were made to have dominion over everything. And I don't know if you can see it. You probably can't see it. But I put it in the literal translation for you. And I'll read it so you get the gist of it. It says, what mortal that you are being mindful of him, the son of human, that thou art visitest him, and you are making him lack him little. And actually, it's translated angels. But in the original Greek, it's Elohim. When we were made, we were just a little below our father. That's what it says. It's translated angels, but in the Hebrew, the word is you are making him little from Elohim. Do you understand that when we return to sonship, that's why Paul said the devil got to flee? Devil got to flee? Because when we return to our full dominion, we'll be able to command nature. We'll be able to do just like Jesus. It says, you are crowning him. You are making him rule in the deeds of the hands of you. All you set under the feet of him. And it goes on in the Hebrew. But it's translated angels, but in the Hebrew, the word is Elohim. What it's really telling us, that when we were created, we have fallen from such a high level. We don't understand the calling to which we were first created. And I wonder if I can inspire you this morning to understand where we are going to return to. I'm going to hurry to try and finish this. So Adam was created a son of God, but when he sinned, he became just a mortal man. But we are to be returning to being a son of God. To them gave he power. What does it say? To become. We're in the becoming. If you're walking, if you have gotten and left Ur of the Chaldees, if you're walking to the promised land, if you're going to Canaan, you're getting power to become a son of God. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Now in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, it quotes this scripture, but it says, right now we don't see it. I can't go out there and say, cloud, stop. We don't see it. Because it has not yet fully come to the fruition. Because we're waiting for the last part. And I'm trying to hurry. So the Bible tells us this body is dead. We should count our bodies dead. It doesn't what it says? Romans 7:23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity. This is what sin does to the law of sin, which is in my members. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And the one who does it is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In the wedding that I performed yesterday, I didn't have a long time to get into a big sermon, but I said it was the fact that Jesus, the scripture we always quote, John 3:16, right? For God so loved. And I said that love is an action. And it's the fact that God came in the flesh, which is what empowers my faith. If God stayed up in heaven and didn't understand what you're going through, we could all say, God, you just don't understand. You're unfair. But the Bible says he was in all points tempted, such as we. We know that at some point he was in a single family. We know Joseph wasn't around for years. We know he was there till he was 12, but after that, Joseph disappears from this. The Bible says he was in all points tempted, such as we are, yet without sin. And so he came, it says in verse 14 of Hebrews, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. The only part that God really wants. So while we have this body, the Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple? Our body is the host right now of our soul. And although the soul is sealed, that doesn't mean we should try and defile this temple, right? And there's many ways we can do that. And it's not just drugs. You know, we need to, and this is for me, I need to get proper rest and take care of myself, right? We should hallow the fact that God, the Bible says, know we not that you are the temple of God. So God did not want to save this body. Romans 8:10 tells us, and this is just to summarize, the body is dead because of sin. Paul says in Romans 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. I get up every day. I'm going to witness. I'm going to be on fire. I'm going to smile. I'm going to let the joy of the Lord until you go to work and something happens or someone calls you or you get a text. Just one little word can just take all of that away if you let it. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And he goes on to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But here's the good part. In Romans 8, he says, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath delivered me from the law of sin and death. So we should count as if this body is dead. To, To be honest with you, I don't want to live forever. Not in this body. Because I've just gotten the first signs that things are starting to wear out. And for me, looking at me, I kind of, in my brain anyway, kind of still think, well, it's still too early. Still too early. I'm almost 60, but it's still too early. You know, they say that 15 years from where you are now is what you consider old. So when you're 15, an old person is 30. When you're 30, an old person is, well, 45. When you're 45, someone who is 60 is old. And when you're my age, someone who's 75. That's probably when I will really be old. But you know, the fact is, let's face it. Scripturally, right? You know, 70 years. But you know what? The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be with Christ. You can have everything I got if I'm with Christ. I don't want any of it. Amen? I don't want any of it. I'm trying to hurry here. See, what we're going to be is back to what Jesus was. Look at this. And there's a very subtle prophecy in this. There's a very subtle prophecy in Matthew 17:1. Biblically, what year are we? According to the Jewish calendar, it's year 5,700 and something, right? 76, I don't remember. And we know that biblically anyway, forget what the evolutionists and the creationists and, I mean, all those people say it's millions of years. But biblically, the Bible says that a year is to the Lord as what? And 1,000 years is as a one day. Now, I don't know why the Bible did this except to tell us something. Because it didn't have to tell us. It says, after 6 days. See, we are in the sixth day. Do you understand that? Do you understand? After 6 days, what did Jesus do? He took them up. We are very close to that day when we get back to the sonship body. Because it says, after 6 days, he took Peter and James up. And he revealed to them what a Son of God body really looks like. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. I'm going to really hurry. 1 Corinthians 15:38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. So you ask me, what am I going to look like? Well, I don't know, other than it's going to be light. He says in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. If you're over, I would say, 18, you've probably got stuff wrong with you that you don't even know. If you're in your 20s, you probably think I'm feeling fit, but you've probably still got stuff wrong with you. And by the time you're 45, there's no denying it. About 40, I had to start using glasses. I mean, I had such perfect sight. I could see an ant at a mile. I used to. Or close enough. Close enough. But here's the beauty of it. That body is going to be nothing compared to what God has got. And, you know, he's made an amazing, amazing symbol for us in the moth and the butterfly. How could that thing turn into this thing that can fly? But it curls up in a cocoon and it comes out as a new creature. In Christ, all things are passed away. All things are made new. Whatever you're going through right now, whatever pain and suffering you're going, whatever health problems, if you get in Christ, all those things are going to be passed away. You're going to come forth in your prime, whatever that was. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It's going to be raised a spiritual body. That's what we have been promised, saints. That's what we have been promised. If you could stand with me, I can't quite finish all of what I have. I'm almost there, but if you could stand with me, we're going to end our Sunday school. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. See, that's by faith. If you have God's Spirit within you, you are a son of God. But we are still waiting for the change of this body. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But here's that word, but we know. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know. Here it says, but we know. Means there's a waiting period. But we know that when he shall appear, not may, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. When you go home, get whatever was your best picture. Well, go home, find your best picture when you're in your teens, your prom picture, whatever it is. You're going to be better than that. You're going to be better than that. But we know. He's not even saying, well, some, you know, half milk toast. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. This little finger that doesn't want to bend right now without causing me pain, that won't matter. I'll be able to just think myself through walls. Wherever you want to be, you will be. Because you will be glorified. You will have been made back just a little bit less than God. That's the fact. You were created in his image and his likeness originally. And that's what's going to happen. For we shall see him as he is. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. I'll see my parents again. Not in a wheelchair. Not in the nursing home. Not suffering. At the last trump, for the trump itself sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Not able to be corrupted. Not suffering to pain. Not cancer. Not any of these things. And we shall be changed. I'm going to end with the verse I started with. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. If you're groaning today, it's okay. You're in line with the Bible. Because we are waiting for that last penny to drop. The change of this body. The Bible also says that we who remain and are alive, spiritually, shall be changed. That's my hope. I hope that's your hope. Some of us shall not see death, but we shall be changed. The last trump. Twinkling of an eye. If you could bow your heads with me.